Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and this Aspire radio program is being recorded for October 4th, 2020. We're going to be looking at society. Yes, I got some wonderful questions here from some lovely people who I have never met, who listen to our radio program, and they are concerned about society. So we're going to take a look at what that means, maybe, and how that relates to something that is a little more esoteric, a little more spiritual, as it were. Society is an aggregate, as it is defined, of people living together in a more or less ordered community. The community of people that come together to formulate some sort of organized idea or ideals of behavior, belief, all of that. And in society, you will not find tolerance. You will not find basic kindness. You will be given the structure of how to conduct yourself in a way that doesn't allow you to go and be incarcerated. And that's about it, because society is all over the place. We have all sorts of beliefs about how people should be, how they should act, who our society is. We formulate these societies. If you read the book Sapiens and Homo Deus, we formulate them out of basic instinct survival to stay alive. And the common goal, of course, is survival. So that makes us very, what do I want to say here, ruthless for the most part. Because staying alive and the purpose of society to stay alive is one of the most fundamental conditional relationships we will ever have. Society dictates moral behavior for the most part. And while we need this, and we do, because we can't govern ourselves by ourselves, we have no sense of character or the bigger picture of any kind of spirituality. So we need laws, and we need people to enforce them, and it just gets uglier and uglier and uglier. It has to do with the influence of wealth and the influence of power, and there's all sorts of and ethnic problems that people have, biases they have. So we look at society as the culmination of the human mind, the human body, the human nature. And once you and I kind of understand that, then we can understand what the meaning of transformation is and transcendence. So let's get into the first question. This one comes from Hudson, and he lives in Central California, he says. How do I get away from society? It seems to be nothing more than war after war. And then he goes into all the discord that is going on in our societies. Everybody lives in a society, Hudson. Everybody. Everybody. And even if you get away from it, let's say, and go live somewhere in the mountains while the trees are burning, we can't help but create our own society. You'll have people around you wherever you go now. Due to overpopulation, it's going to be harder and harder to go and be in a place where you're absolutely alone without the peril of all sorts of disasters like we're seeing now in the fires, which are horrible. So when you start to see all of this and the idea of getting away from society, what you're really saying is, how do I get away from myself? You and I are born into this world due to our karma, due to what we allowed and disallowed in many, many past lives. And we have accumulated a tremendous karma. Now, a lot of people, YOLOs, and I have students who are YOLOs, they they don't get that. They think in terms of you live, you die, and it's fade to black and it's over. But that is a convenient thing for someone to believe who is selfish and basically unkind. So I have to give to society what I would be for myself. And that's what we do. It isn't about what's fair or just. It's about what's kind and loving. And I have to live in that. And there are some stringent things that people just don't really want to see about themselves, about their world, and about how this all works. They just literally do not want to see it. And what is it that they don't want to see? Their bias, their selfishness, their pride, their vanity, and how they want to look at their lifetime in this world, in their livingness, and how it should conform to their survival, the means of their survival even. And with all that being said, nobody learns anything. We have to have tremendous structure called a society. We have to have tremendous structure. If we don't have that structure, right, wrong, good, bad, how a person is rewarded, how they're punished, then we have, Hudson, a real problem. Because then nobody has any consequences and people run amok. And right now, people are running amok. They don't care about the consequences. In a society, it can be a really good thing. It really can. If I care about you and I wouldn't do anything to hurt you, even though it would look like it would make my life more convenient or even benefit maybe my existence here, and I am willing to sacrifice that for the greater good of the whole, which is not something that most people would do, then I start to break the chains of my karma. I start to find a liberation. I start to see an umbrella of kindness hovering around me. I start to realize, oh, you know, for all these years, I didn't put myself out much to help people. This seems strange for me to try to help someone, and it could even be, you know, dangerous. People would often see it as, well, if I'm kind, how do I know this person isn't going to do this, that, and the other? There's all sorts of paranoias a person can get into. If you live, Hudson, person to person, and this is what I do. I live person to person. I don't live in the thralls of my paranoia or my fears. I simply live person to person. And I try to do my very best, which I do, to help every person that is before me, because I realize whoever's before me is also within me. And that is a very important thing for me to understand about the nature of myself. I am more than what I think. I am more than what I believe. I am more than the aggregate, as it were, of living with other people in a common bond to try to survive and have comfort and peace. And in a society, that's a very difficult thing to achieve. People have their biases, and society brings up bias. It really does, and it shows us the state of our biases. So when you and I are doing what we're doing, when we're living as we're living, when we're thinking as we're thinking, when our value system is our survival and trying to figure out how you're going to fit into my life to help me survive, when I live like that, then I negate the beauty of a society that can live from the compassion and the love of a tender kindness, just a tenderness that goes beyond politics and religion. I can't emphasize this enough to you, Hudson, because it is so very true in my own life and in the lives of many of the people I serve. Just to live in a kindness, to be compassionate enough to yield when necessary for the sake of helping another person. This has to be foremost in my mind in living here on Earth. And I'm afraid it is not with most people. So what we see in the world and with most individuals in the world is we gather together to defend and to fight for what we call our society. And the sad part about that is that doesn't bring any kind of real joy or peace into this lifetime. It just doesn't do it. And what can I say to that? But oh my. I'm going to say to you what Gandhi said to all of us many, many years ago. Be the change you want to see. Live the change you want to see. And there you are. The change that is for love. Although in today's world, I am not so sure that is the change people want to see. Things have definitely moved into violence and selfishness in our culture and in our society. Please forgive me. Thank you, Hudson. Namaste. That's a good question. I love his name, too. Hudson, I really love your name. I do. I think that's a great one. Here's one from Hildy. Can we change society through spiritual awakening? And she put parentheses around spiritual awakening. Hildy. She does not tell me where she lives. No, you cannot. It will never change. Society is going to be what it is based on the primitive emotionality we have, primitive instincts we have about our life, and it is not going to change at all. It is going to go downhill rather than uphill. Why? Why do I say that? If you have not noticed, the more there is a population increase in this world, the more difficulties there are in this world. And you start bringing in entities that have a great deal to do with the idea of living out their lives in very warlike, primitive manner, that kind of thing that we do knuckle dragging as us men do. And so when we're living in this camaraderie of selfishness and genetic disposition, we find ourselves not creating a society where love and compassion can exist. You can change little parts of society from time to time, but they will always go back to the way they were. Everything will kind of rubber band itself back into the form of which it was originally designed, and it's all for that hate is the only way to sustain a person's survival, and fear of that hate is the only way to control people. And that isn't going to work in a spiritual practice. In a spiritual practice, we live independent from the need to survive, and we do not engage bias. Now, that is a huge, tall order for most people to see, to even attempt, to even consider not going into their bias, not going into the bias that says, I have a bias for color, I have a bias for the preference of how a person acts, their religion, maybe their philosophy, maybe their political views, blah, 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 blah. And we're really in the thick of it right now with the election. So we're looking at our life from the stance of trying to understand how we can get our way in this world and survive the Holocaust of our own thinking. And I'm going to say this, Hildy, because it really is important that someone acknowledge it. The American public, they're in the whole fray of it, and at the core of most societies, there is a lot of mental illness. a lot of mental illness, and I'm talking a lot. I would say there are a lot of young people are mentally ill. They were raised and brought up by parents who were druggies and alcoholics and who had no intention of formulating inside the child a stability, an ability to get beyond emotional impulse. And that would be stability. But they didn't do that themselves. They have no idea what I'm even talking about, and they consider it falderal, and they don't. They didn't do it with their kids. So now their kids are becoming millennials and Gen Xers and Gen Yers, and it's getting more and more ugly. There's a lot of suicide going on, according to Pew Research, more than we have ever seen before. Of course, this is hidden in the background of society, so we don't really mature. We can't legislate a person's impulses for doing great disjustice to each other. You can't do it. There's a tremendous sense of urgency and impulse. And impulses are very, very, very strong in all of us. They're instinctive of the primitive part of our bodies, of our brains. And if you read, again, Robert Sapolsky's book on behavior, you'll understand why we are the way we are. You'll see how we behave from chemicals and impulses from our genetics and our DNA, and it isn't a matter of free choice. We don't have that, Hildy. The only choice we have is how we're going to defend ourselves or how we're going to formulate societies that are in opposition to what we like to believe of as our freedom, our liberation. The only true liberation there is in meditation, is in freeing myself of my mind and its biases, no longer making decisions based on my instincts to survive, basically living my life in accord with a love that is greater than my instincts could ever provide for me. And a lot of people, A, don't believe that's even possible or exists, and B, they're not going to put the effort into it. I mean, they're not going to do it. This isn't what they're all about. This isn't what they believe in. And this isn't what the meaning of their life is. We like a good fight. You have to understand that. Fighting and being in conflict with other people is a huge part of our society. And we see it all the time in sports, in entertainment. So everything is working against us because we are working against ourselves. We are the ones fighting ourselves. Society is the mirror of Greg and what his biases are. He's got the same thing internally going on, Hildy, that I'm sure you do. And in all of that is our nationality, the makeup of our nationality, our cryptic ideas about being a warrior and being at war. We'll start a fight for just the sake of starting a fight. And I think you can probably see that in your own life, that you have started fights for the sake of starting a fight. You don't know why you do it. You don't see how you do it, but you and I do it. We make war. Somebody goes against what it is that we think is right, and we make war with them rather than peace. We don't come to them and say, oh, what is it about me that made this possible for you? We would never say that. We would never admit we're wrong. We would never look at the bigger picture of our life. Hence, our karma goes on and on and on in all sorts of ways that do nothing but bring about sorrow and unkindness in our life. And this is how we live our livingness. It's very sad, but this is how we do it. The antidote is always compassion and love. The antidote is always the tone of silence within us, resonating to that tone. The antidote is always about not entertaining my thoughts as right, because my thoughts are not always right. In fact, rarely are they right. My inclination to want to start a fight with you, well, there you are. That has to be overcome. That has to be subdued. That has to be turned away. You have to move away from that kind of mind, that kind of inclination. But who's going to do it when it turns us on? It sends chemicals from the brain into the body, and we get high and excited about kicking ass. Our hardness of heart always gets us. What is it that women want to be badass now? Really? I saw this. Oh, this t-shirt on this football player. And it said, God is dope. And I, Hildy, there is no way anything I could say, and that just kills me to see that. There's just no way I can counteract that. You know, dope getting you high, you know, making you feel good, that kind of thing. It isn't that it's sacrilegious to me. It's just antisocial, even at its lowest level. But at its highest level, it's, again, the commitment to the body and wanting to make it happy over everything and anything. Hildy, we live in hell. And the only way to deal with it is not to fight it, but to transcend it. And to do as much goodness as you can for the sake of your life. I have other things to say about all this, but I'm not going to say them on the radio. I save that for retreats and such. So I'm going to leave it right there. Thank you, Hildy, for your kind and loving question, and please forgive me. Namaste. And the last question is from Joan. And she lives in San Francisco. Your teachings seem to put us into a hopeless state. Is there any hope? It seems like you're throwing the baby out with the bathwater, Joan. I don't know what you mean about the baby with the bathwater thing. I state things as they are, Joan. And unequivocally, they're not good in the sense of bringing forth peace and love. People lie a lot. They fake it. They're chameleons. They don't tell the truth. They base their whole life on prejudice and bias. They think that the proof of a person's worth is how much they have in money and power and prestige. And that's what they go for. That's what success means to them. And, you know, you look at all of that and you see the world the way it is and how many people have sought that over the course of thousands of years of existence. And, here's where we are. Our forests are burning down. Our pandemic has grown. And our politics are prejudicial. And people are frustrated. They're angry. So I am just showing you, mirroring to you, what we've done to ourselves. And all of us are a part of it. I also give you the antidote to it, but nobody wants to hear the antidote. The antidote is love. It is giving and forgiving. And I talk about that all the time, not only here on the radio, but in my discourses, in my retreats, in my counseling sessions. It's all about that. But most people aren't into it, so what can I say except let love live you. I gotta go. I'm late. Thank you for all of your beautiful questions and lending me your ear. We'll be back on the air next week. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste.